This morning, I'm continuing a series called Questions, and for this series, letting you guys pick what I preach on Sunday. And we've got all kinds of good questions. In fact, we've got so many questions, I'm going to try to extend this series till the end of the year because questions are pouring in. You guys are asking some good ones. But we're going to just keep on diving into this, and I'll probably put a little Christmas spin on the questions before the end of the year. But week one, somebody asked the question, how do I know if God is speaking to me? We talked about how to understand and recognize the voice of God, and we talked about the different ways that God speaks. I know people personally who have heard the audible voice of God speak out loud to them. That's not my experience. My experience is more like Elijah in the cave. I hear the still small voice. I hear the Holy Spirit speaking in my heart. But God speaks in more ways than those. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through situations. He speaks through people. The list goes on and on and on. But if you haven't listened to that message, I encourage you to listen to it on our podcast or get a free CD before you leave today. But it's important to understand that God is still speaking. Many times it's not a problem of God not speaking. It's a problem of us not listening, that's not hearing. Week two, somebody asked the question, what do I do when I'm under pressure? Anybody here better under pressure? Some of y'all don't even know that, but you are much better under pressure. I was reading about some medical research and something called a hyperbaric chamber. And when somebody has a severe injury, they put them inside of this pressure chamber. And it's two atmospheres of pressure. So it's double the pressure that we live under on an ordinary basis. But when somebody's in a hyperbaric chamber, they heal more than twice as fast. It is amazing the power of pressure. So many times we as Christians, we get all down the dumps and we complain when we have pressure in our life. But what we fail to understand is that sometimes God uses that pressure to do things in us that he could never do any other way. Come on, just tell somebody, I'm better under pressure. Week three, somebody said, can I be a Christian and still have fun? No. If it makes you grin, it's got to be a sin, right? That's kind of the culture I grew up in church. If it makes you grin, it's a sin. You got to be miserable. You got to suffer for Jesus. Listen, Jesus said, I've come that you would have life and have it more abundantly. If anybody has a reason to be happy, it ought to be the children of God. Hallelujah. That's what I love about the church. The church ought to be the happiest place on earth. Why? Because this is a place where racism dies. It's not allowed in the door. Listen, the violence and the garbage that we see going on in the world around us. Listen, when we come together as a people of God, every one of those bondages, every one of those burdens, listen, they are no match for the name of Jesus. I hate what's going on in the world, but I love that I'm a part of the family of God. This place ought to be a shelter from all that garbage. Leave your newspapers at the door. Better be it. Just throw them away. Amen. Can I be a Christian and still have fun? If you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. Week four, somebody said, does God cause natural disasters? I don't remember a summer in my lifetime where we've had so many disasters, both natural and man-made. And it's important to understand that the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you would have life and life more abundant. So I talked about the 10-10 test. John 10, I just quoted John 10-10. So if you have something happen in your life or it goes on in the world, put it to the 10-10 test. Okay? If it steals, if it kills, and if it destroys, according to Jesus, it comes from the enemy. But if it brings life and abundant life, like real life, comes from God. So somebody put it to the test. Last week, somebody asked the question, how do I stay in church when it's so easy to drift away? Isn't it easy? It's easy to lay in bed and throw the alarm clock out the window. It's easy to drift out of church, especially when you're going through something. When you're going through a lot of pain, okay, emotional pain, physical pain. I don't know if you're like me, but I won't be around none of y'all, okay? I'm going through something. I'm going to be all by myself. I'm going to be miserable all alone. But that's the enemy. That's the flesh. When you're going through something, that's when you need to be around the people of God. And I talked about this last Sunday. When you feel like it the least, you need it the most. When you feel like it the least, you need it the most. When you wake up and you don't feel like going to church, that's probably when you need to be. Some of y'all made that decision this morning. You woke up, I don't feel like going, but I'm going anyway. Praise the Lord. You made the right choice today. Today, there's a question that a lot of people ask. I mean, I had a stack of these our first couple of weeks. A lot of people ask this question. How do I trust in God when it seems like nothing is happening? How do I trust in God when it seems like nothing is happening? Now, let me start by saying this. When you're believing God for something and it seems like nothing is happening, that is exactly how you grow in your faith. That's how faith is built. That's how we grow strong in our walk with God. When we go through seasons of waiting, when we're asking for the answer, but the answer has not come, that's when we find out what we're made of as a Christian. Times like this will define your walk with God. In James chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." What a strange thing to say. Be glad when you're going through stuff. Really? The Apostle James said, rejoice when you fall into various trials. Why? Because a faith that hasn't been tested cannot be trusted. We ought to be glad when we're going through stuff. Why? Because when our faith is being tested, it's being stronger, and we're going to come out of this season stronger than we were going into that season. How do I trust in God? Just three points, three quick points. I'm going to follow the five B's of preaching today. Be brief, brother, be brief, okay? It's going to be brief, but it's going to be good, okay? And if you listen to these three points, then they'll change your life, okay? How do I trust God? Number one is hear the truth. This is very, very important. In fact, you cannot skip step number one. It all hinges on your ability to hear the truth. Now, let me first separate the difference between truth and facts. Okay? Facts can change. Truth is eternal. Facts can change. Truth is eternal. Okay? Truth is unchanging. And if you're going to walk by faith, you have to focus on the truth more than you focus on the facts. And I think that all this will start to make sense here in just a minute. But listen, we live in a day when knowledge is increasing. We live in the information age. People know more now than they've ever known. We're always discovering new facts and learning new things. There were things that we thought were true yesterday, but today we know differently. When I was growing up, there were 9 planets. Apparently, we lost one along the way because now they're saying there's only 8 planets, okay? I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I'm not going to get any pizza, okay? Right? My elegant, very elegant mother just served us 9 pizzas, right? The 9 planets? Nope, that was wrong. There's 8 planets. You see, that was a fact. I learned the fact that there are 9 planets, but now there's a new fact. Well, no, there's only 8 planets. Scientists are constantly making new discoveries. People are writing new books. Did you know that in the United States, there are 3,000 pages published every second of every day? Every second that goes by, 3,000 pages are published. The United States prints over 1,000 new books every single day. That's a lot of information. People are learning and relearning all kinds of things. And I heard somebody say this, if you took a graph of all of the knowledge from the dawn of history up until the year 1845, all of that knowledge would be about 1 inch on a graph. And then, if you take all of the knowledge gained from 1845 to 1945, it will be 3 inches on the graph. Well, think about that. The dawn of history to 1845, 1 inch. And then in the following 100 years, 3 times that amount of knowledge was recorded. But if you take all of the knowledge from 1945 until today, it would be a line longer than the Washington Monument. Knowledge is increasing rapidly. And the Bible said that that would happen. Daniel prophesied 2,600 years ago that in the last days, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. That sounds a lot like the world we're living in today. Knowledge is increasing at an unprecedented rate. Think about all the technological advances in the past few years, all the medical breakthroughs, the artificial arteries, artificial skin, surgery to make you taller. Did you know that that exists now? You can have surgery, you can come out 6'3". I was talking to a medical doctor last night. They've come out with an artificial heart. If somebody needs a heart transplant and they're too far down on the transplant list, they can actually take this device, take out their heart, put this device in their body, and it will serve as an artificial heart for up to 4 years until they can get a transplant. It is amazing how knowledge is increasing. They're developing a holographic TV where you're not just watching it on a screen. You're in the room and you're in the movie. This is the one I got excited about. They're developing non-digestible food where you can eat all you want all day long. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And don't gain no weight. What a wonderful world we live in. Jesus loves me the most. It's incredible the amount of knowledge that we have today. This is an argument that I've heard a lot, and some of y'all probably heard this. We have so much knowledge. Why do we need the Bible? It's so outdated. Anybody ever heard somebody say that? I've heard that a lot. We don't need the Bible anymore. We know all of these things. Why do we need the Bible? It's outdated. But here's the fact that I want you to listen to. With all of the knowledge that we have today, we still have more crime, more suicide, more mental illness, more broken homes, more drug abuse, and more war than we've ever had before. Why? Because people are learning facts and they're learning knowledge, but they're not learning truth. Knowledge is not the answer. If that were true, with more knowledge, the world would have less problems. But knowledge has increased exponentially. The world has not improved. Knowledge may increase, but here's the thing. Truth never increases. Because truth never changes. Truth is constant. Psalm 119 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Jesus said this, "Your word is truth." The word of God is truth that does not, will not ever change. It never expires. It's never out of date. It was just as relevant 3,000 years ago as it is today, and it will be still be relevant 10,000 years from now. You look at the problems we're facing in our nation today, and you go back and read the book of Genesis, these are not new problems. It's the same old stuff. And the answer is not more knowledge. The answer is the unchanging, timeless truth of the Word of God. And people who trust in God are people who have learned to listen to truth more than facts. Facts change. Facts are situational. Facts are the things that you see with your eyes, but truth is what you hear in your spirit. In other words, I'm putting more faith in what God says than in what I see. That's what faith in God is all about. Putting more faith in what God says than in what I see. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, the truth of God's word is in the unseen realm. If you skip down two more verses, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. You know what this verse tells me right here? It tells me that the unseen is greater than the seen. It tells me that the spiritual realm is greater than this physical realm, because everything we see in this physical realm came out of the unseen realm. Yes. The invisible world is greater than the visible world. And we see this all throughout the story of the Bible. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us we walk by faith, not by sight. We live by truth, not by facts. Come on, tell somebody, we live by faith, not by sight. When I think about the unseen, the spiritual realm, I'm reminded of what happened to Elisha, the prophet of God, in 2 Kings chapter 6. Bible said that the king of Syria, he continually came against Israel. He would set ambushes, he would set traps, and every time he went to attack Israel, somebody had tipped them off. And the king of Syria threw a hissy fit right there in the palace. He kicked the throne. He called all of his advisors in. And he said, one of y'all is a traitor. Who's been selling secrets to Israel? And they said, no, nobody. None of us. It wasn't me. It was that prophet of God named Elisha. Every time we make a plan, God tells him what we're going to do. And he's the one who's warning Israel. So the king of Syria, in all of his wisdom, decides to go after the one that God's been talking to. Takes the Syrian army and they go down to Alabama to the city of Dothan and they surround it. Y'all didn't know that was a city in the Bible too. They went to the city of Dothan and they surrounded the prophet's house. And look what the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 14. Therefore the king of Syria sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. Bunch of sorry suckers snuck up on him in the middle of the night. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Look what Elisha said. He answered him and said, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with him. You might look like you're surrounded in the natural, but there's another army in the unseen realm that is greater than what you see. You might be looking at the facts, but the truth says another story. So Elisha prayed, God, open up his eyes. And the Bible says the Lord instantly opened up his eyes and he saw a vast multitude. He saw the hosts of the armies of God. Those who are with us are greater than those who are with child of God. I wish you would get hold of the fact that those who are with you are greater than those who are against you. Your power doesn't come from the things you see, from the facts you know, from the situation around you. Your strength comes from the unseen realm, from the eternal God, the everlasting God. And if God is with you, he's greater than anything that can stand against you. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God plus you is the majority every single time. Those who are with us are greater than those who are with them. How many times have we been like Elisha's servant and we've been so focused on the Syrian army, on the enemy that's encamped against us, and we're so busy counting the horses and counting the chariots and counting the soldiers that have rallied to defeat us. And how many times have we gotten our eyes so focused on the seen realm that we forget that there's a mighty army of God that is greater than all the powers of the enemy. Lord, open our eyes to see. That's my prayer for you, that God would open up your eyes to see that those who are with you are greater than those who are with them. The unseen realm. Think about David when he faced the Philistines in 1 Chronicles chapter 14, one of my absolute favorite stories of the Old Testament. David went out against the Philistines, and this is what happened. 1 Chronicles 14, 13, the Philistines once again made a raid on the valley. Aren't you tired of the enemy just aggravating you and annoying you? The Philistines, they just kept on attacking Israel over and over and over. And Israel was tired and fed up and frustrated. And once again, they made a raid on the valley. Therefore, David inquired again of God. Church, that's step one. How many times have we inquired of the Lord when we've been faced with the enemy? David knew that he did his best fighting on his knees. David got on his knees and he inquired of God. And listen to what God said to him. You shall not go up after them. Circle around them. Circle or surround them. Don't go chasing the enemy. Surround them. And it shall be, when you hear a sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to battle, for God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. The sound of marching in the mulberry trees. I love that. If I ever find myself in battle, I'm going to be hanging around a mulberry tree. When you hear the sound of marching in the mulberry trees, in other words, it's not about what you see, it's about what you hear. David, it's not about what you see. You surrounded them, all you see is Philistines, all you see is the enemy. It's not about what you see, it's about what you hear. When you hear the sound of marching in the mulberry trees, you hear the sound of marching in the mulberry trees. When you hear the invisible armies of God marching in your direction, that's when you get up and you go into battle. Oh, there's a different kind of confidence that comes when we're facing something and we hear the sound of marching. You fasted and you prayed and you sought God, and when you feel your help from heaven coming, there is no enemy that can defeat you. You march forward because you're not marching by yourself. The armies of God are advancing and you're moving with Him. The Bible says that the Lord went before Him to defeat the Philistines. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I want to ask you the question this morning. What are you listening to? What are you listening to? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing according to the word of God. So the question is, what do you hear? When my wife and I, when we came to Goldsboro back in 2012, a lot of people said this church was done. A lot of people had given up. You guys know more than I do. So many people who had been your friends and loved ones had walked away saying, there's no hope for that church. Amen. When other pastors found out that Amber and I were coming to Goldsboro, I had a pastor call me. Somebody that I respected in a spiritual position over me called me and said, don't go to Goldsboro. Uh-huh. That's the last place you want to go. You see, everybody saw Philistines, but we heard the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees. And when you listen, it doesn't matter what kind of opposition you face around you. If you can get in a position to where you hear truth, it doesn't matter what the facts are. You can move forward in Jesus' name. Think about Elijah, the mentor of Elisha in 1 Kings chapter 18. There was a famine in the land, and everywhere he looked was dry dirt. But when he prayed, he said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. In other words, what I see is dry, what I see is dead, all I see before me is famine, but I'm not walking by what I see, I'm walking by what I hear, and God says the rain is coming. Yes. Heard an interesting story, for those of you who are sports fans, about something that happened at the University of Wisconsin. It was October of 1982 in Badger Stadium. 60,000 diehard fans came to root for the University of Wisconsin as they played the Michigan State Spartans. And it became very obvious pretty early in the game that MSU was the better team. I mean, they were whooping up on Wisconsin. And a strange thing happened that day as Wisconsin fell further and further and further behind. They began to hear an unusual sound in the Wisconsin stands because Wisconsin fans began to cheer and shout. And the coaches were confused. The players were confused because they were losing real bad that day. They didn't understand what was going on because they were losing, but their fans were still cheering for them. And what they didn't realize is that 70 miles away, the Milwaukee Brewers were beating the St. Louis Cardinals in game 3 of the World Series, and their fans were listening on their radios. So they were sitting here in an arena of defeat, but they were cheering and shouting and celebrating, not because of what they saw, but because of what they heard. So I want to ask you again, what are you listening to today? Because when you're a child of God, you can be seated in the arena of defeat. You can see defeat and death all around you. But if you can tune your ears into the frequency of heaven, you can shout the victory because there is a different report that comes from our God. Not about what you see, it's about what you hear. Oh, I see the medical diagnosis, but I hear Isaiah 53:5 that says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. Oh, I see that my kids are turning away from God, but I hear Acts 16:31 that says, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Oh, I see that this ministry dream is impossible, but I hear Luke 1:37 that says, with God, nothing is impossible. Amen. What do you hear? Because faith comes by hearing. How to trust in God? Number one, hear the truth. Number two, shut out the doubt. Amen. Tell somebody, shut out the doubt. Listen, an atmosphere of doubt and unbelief is faith destroying. Think about it. Even Jesus was limited when he went to Nazareth. Why? Because of people's unbelief. The Bible says that Jesus, the Son of God, anointed in the power of the Holy Spirit, could do no great miracles there because of unbelief. Listen, if you're going to believe God and trust God when you don't see anything happening around you, you've got to grab hold of the truth of God and you've got to shut the doubt out of your life. You need to learn how to recognize the doubters and stop surrounding yourself with them. How do I know if I'm surrounded by doubters? If you catch a cold and all your friends start planning your funeral, it's probably time to find some new friends because you're not in an atmosphere of faith. If you're broke and you look around and all your friends are broke too, I need to think about that. An atmosphere of doubt and unbelief is detrimental to your faith. If you're struggling in your marriage, you need to shut out the doubters. If your mama, if all she says, well, I just want you to be happy, you need to click and hang up the phone. You need to shut out the doubt. Yes. Oh, was it steps on toes this morning? Let me just stay there for a little bit. If you're struggling in your marriage, you need some people of faith who are going to say, don't you dare give up. You stand by it. Listen, if God is for you, who can be against you? You can do this thing. It might be difficult. It might be tough. It might be a battle, but you can make it. Talking about, well, you just deserve to be happy. Shut your mouth. Shut out the doubt. Hear the truth, shut out the doubt. Let me show you the importance of this from something that happened with Jesus in Mark chapter 5. Mark 5:35, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. They said, your daughter is dead. Why bother Jesus anymore? Well, they didn't understand that death isn't even enough to stop Jesus. Overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, don't be afraid, just believe. You had the doubters, you had the voice of faith. Don't be afraid, just believe. And he didn't let anybody follow him. Very important. Jesus didn't let just anybody walk with him. He didn't let anybody follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. Now that's human nature. When we go through something, we want somebody who's going to cry louder than we cry and wail and fall apart and roll on the floor. And this is what was going on when they arrived there. Jesus went in and he said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. What did they do? They laughed at Jesus. And after he put them all out, did y'all see what Jesus did? After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and they went in where the child was. And he took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old, and at this, they were completely astonished. Notice that in order to perform this miracle, Jesus had to kick out the doubters. He took all the people who were mocking and unbelief, and he kicked them out. And who did he take with him? Peter, James, and John. Jesus took his inner circle. I want to ask you this morning, who is in your inner circle? Who do you surround yourself with? Because it really does matter. The Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. Listen, you need to recognize the doubters in your life and stop surrounding yourself with them. Disclaimer, I'm not telling you to divorce your husband, but what I am telling you is that you need to find some people who have faith, who are going to believe God with you, and you need to lock arms with them, surround yourself with them, because when you're in a moment of crisis, you need people of faith, not of doubt. You need a bunch of people who say, let's believe God for the impossible. Let's charge hell with a squirt gun. Let's chase Moby Dick in a rowboat and take the tartar sauce with us. You need some crazy faith, friends. You need people who have so much faith that they make you nervous. Crazy people. We all need crazy friends. Surround yourself with people of faith. Listen, it matters who you surround yourself with. You will never soar with the eagles if you're scratching in the dirt with the chickens or running with turkeys. The doubters, somebody like that, the doubters have got to go. Get on board or get out, right? Like I tell Hudson, pee-pee or get off the potty. Some of y'all need to hold a face-to-face meeting with some of your friends and look them in the eye and say, pee-pee or get off the potty. You can stand with me and believe God, or I'll see you at Walmart when I get groceries, all right? Come on, but we're not going to be connected like that. Everybody needs an inner circle of faith. If Jesus needed it, you need it too. I'll move on. I'll let you chew on that for a little while. Pee-pee or get off the potty. How do I trust in God? Number one, hear the truth. Number two, shut out the doubt. And number three, I'm done. Remember where God brought you from. Remember where God brought you from. It's important to remember, never underestimate the power of your testimony. Never underestimate the power of your story. Because my Bible says in Revelation 12:11 that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Never underestimate the power of your story. As I look around this room, I see men and women that God has done some amazing things through. Don't you ever forget what God has done in your life. Don't you ever forget where God brought you out of. When the Israelites passed into the promised land, God commanded them, don't you forget that I brought you out of Egypt. Talk about it all the time. Teach your children. Make sure that they remember. Why? Because he knew that they had some battles to fight. When they found themselves in battle, when they found themselves face to face with the enemy, God commanded them to remember. Because if I did it before, I can do it now. If I did it before, I can do it again. If I did it then, I can do it now. Remember where God brought you from. It's important to remember the things that God has done in your life. And I'm excited about small groups this week because we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about what God has done in our lives. We're going to talk about where God brought us from. So you better get ready to share your story this week. We're going to just testify and give God praise on the things that he has done. And since most of y'all aren't in my group, I'm going to tell you mine. Listen, when I'm faced with a situation, because I don't know if y'all noticed, I didn't walk on water to get church today. I still have struggles. I still have issues. We still have problems and obstacles that we have to overcome. When I'm face to face with the problem, I remember November 14th, 2015. I remember when God raised me up off of a deathbed. And if God did that, why am I worried right now? If God did it before, he can do it again. Sometimes, listen, David had to encourage himself in the Lord. Sometimes you're not going to have Peter and James and John with you to say, you can do it, you can make it, God is good, he is able. You're not going to have people to cheer you on and build you up. Sometimes you're going to be all alone, all by yourself. And when you are, you need to be able to encourage yourself and remind your own self of what God has done in your life. It's important to remember. You say, well, Pastor, God hadn't done anything big in my life. Yes, he has. He saved your soul from hell. You were lost and on your way, and Jesus stepped down and rescued you. And if he didn't do anything else, that's enough. And you remind yourself, if God can save me from hell and break the power of sin off of my life, there is nothing that he cannot do. If he did that, he can do this. Come on, tell somebody, if he did that, he can do this. Will you stand as the musicians come? I want us to take just a moment to pray together. And then here in just a couple of minutes, we're going to collect our tithes and offerings. But I want us to just stand before God in prayer for just a moment. Because there are some people right now who are facing a battle. Even as we speak, you feel like you're surrounded by the enemy. And I just want to pray over you this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of the impossible. We thank you that you are God all by yourself. Lord, there is none who even compares to you. And I thank you, Lord, that you are greater than all the power of the enemy. Lord, I thank you that there is nothing the devil sends our way, God, that you aren't able, God, to remove and defeat. Lord, I thank you that you are strong and mighty. Lord, I thank you, Lord, you said in your word that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that rises in judgment against us, we shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. God, help us, Lord, to be people of truth and not facts. Lord, facts change all the time, but Lord, your truth is unchanging. Lord, help us. Open up our ears to hear, God, the truth of your word, that in every situation, Lord, we wouldn't just look to the tabloids and the newspaper and we wouldn't go all bent out of shape about what people say. But Lord, we would go to your word and see what your truth says. Lord, open up our ears to hear and open up our eyes to see that those who are with us are greater than those who are with the enemy. Help us to be people of faith. God, who take you at your word. Lord, who believe the report of heaven. Help us, God, to recognize and remove the voices of doubt in our lives. And Lord, if any of us, Lord, if we've been guilty of being that voice of doubt, Lord, forgive us this morning. Lord, we repent of that. God, we repent of that. We're not going to be used to give an evil report and discourage people's faith. Lord, use us, Lord, to sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron. Use us, God, to be people who dare to believe God for the impossible. Lord, use us to be like Peter and James and John, to stand with our brothers and sisters in Christ and encourage them in the Lord. And Lord, may we never forget where you've brought us from. Lord, you have done great things. You have done mighty things. Lord, help us to remember, God, what you have done. And if you've done it before, Lord, we know that you're able to do it again. Now, right now, just lift up your hands and begin to pray. I want everybody here just to begin to cast your cares on Jesus. Those burdens, those struggles, those worries, those fears, those anxieties, you need to lift those up to the Savior right now, today. Jesus said, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Word of God tells us to cast our cares on Him, for He cares for us. Lord, every fear, every worry, every burden, every anxiety, every problem, every debt, every obstacle, every sickness, every disease, Lord, we just lift those burdens up to you right now. Lord, we're not going to go through life carrying burdens you didn't mean for us to bear. Lord, we cast our burdens over on Jesus by faith. Lord, we receive the truth of your word. We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. We're going to walk by what the word of God says and not by what we see. Give us the boldness, Lord, to stand unwavering on your word. Thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we just worship you and praise you. Listen, the greatest miracle of all is the miracle of salvation. Somebody, you're here today and you need that miracle in your life more than any other thing. You need eternal life. You need for Jesus to save you, to wash your sins away, to make you brand new. Here's the wonderful thing about Jesus is he never turned anybody away. He said, just come to me. Come to him just the way you are. Jesus is standing with arms wide open, ready to save you and cleanse you and set you free and give you a new beginning if you receive him by faith. I want to lead you in a simple prayer today to help you start your journey of faith. And I want to ask everybody here, let's pray this prayer out loud together. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I will listen to you. Jesus, with your help, I will live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. If you're saved and you know it, come on, just lift up your hands and worship and thank God this morning. Oh, Lord, we thank you and praise you. We glorify the wonderful name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that our sins have been washed away. Lord, I thank you that our past is gone, that our future is bright in Jesus. Oh, come on, worship him, church. Worship him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you for all you've done. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Lord, for every miracle that you've done, for every prayer that you've answered, for every time and time again, Lord, where you intervened and you stepped in, and Lord, you showed yourself faithful. Oh, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you and praise you. Hallelujah. Come on, just sing a new song to the Lord. Come on, sing out of your spirit today. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you're worthy, God. Glory and honor and power and praise. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. God's restoring somebody's marriage this morning. You're just like Elijah. You're in a dry place. And it's been dry for a long time. But God sent me here this morning to tell you I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. That breakthrough is coming. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. Keep praying. Keep trusting. Keep seeking. Keep listening. Don't look at the facts around you. Listen to what I say. Listen to my word. Listen to my spirit. I am bringing restoration. I am sending rain on the dry place. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, if you're thirsty and dry, you want more of God, just lift up your hands right now and receive it. Lord, I thank you for just a fresh touch from heaven. Lord, I thank you for a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit blowing through this place today. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit bringing times of refreshing in the presence of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for healing. In the mighty, mighty, mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. You are the miracle worker. There's nothing you cannot do. Lord, we trust in you. We trust in you, Jesus. Lord, open up our eyes to see into the unseen realm. Open up our ears to hear what you would speak to us. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated one more time as the ushers come as we conclude our worship today through giving.